if we want to overcome the darkness in our lives, the darkness that creeps in, the things that we struggle with, the things that are hard for us, we have to be willing to do something, to change something, to try something different.
And I'm convinced that the human spirit was not designed to simply maintain normal. Somewhere along the line, we forget that our job wasn't to maintain normal. Our job was to step into an unprecedented future, where God continually presses us into what's next.
God will never ask you to respond to a call that doesn't already speak to the best part of you, the part of you that was designed for greatness, that deep down knows that there is something more.
Hey, and welcome to the Humanity Church Podcast. I hope that you enjoy this week's talk and want to invite you to join us live at 10 a.m. at the Glasshouse Concert Hall in beautiful downtown Pomona. Or you can join the conversation at www.humanitychurch.com. You can also download the Humanity Church app on iTunes or Android and keep up with the conversation and community there. If you would like to financially support this podcast and the ongoing work at Humanity, you can text the one word Humanity Church to 77977 or check out the giving option on the app. Enjoy this week's talk.
Jesus, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here, to be together, God, to connect to your voice and your spirit, and to celebrate all that you are in us and through us. We thank you for the gift of community and getting to be with one another here. Would you speak to us and move through us today? We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever found yourself in a place where you have a hard time knowing what to believe, or maybe even what to believe, and or what's true or what's not true? I remember distinctly a moment as a kid going through Alpha Beta grocery store. Anyone remember Alpha Beta? Yeah, some of you are like, I don't know what that is. It's all right. I feel old for even saying that right now, but that's okay. We're going through Alpha Beta grocery store, and I remember going through the checkout aisle, and there to the left of me was a magazine, and on it had a giant caption that said, Bat Boy Lives. It was the National Enquirer. And I remember as a kid seeing that image and first of all being horrified and then asking my dad, Dad, does Bat Boy actually exist? And he did, of course, what any good father would do and said, of course he exists, right? In fact, he's a vampire bat and he's probably living somewhere in our neighborhood. But I remember going home thinking, how on earth could this be possible? And thinking, does Bat Boy exist? And where does he live? And if he does live, what is his purpose in this life? But I distinctly remember thinking to myself, what am I supposed to believe now? I mean, if there's a Bat Boy, what else could there be, right? I mean, is Santa Claus real? Is the Easter Bunny real? Is the IRS real? I don't know, you know? And I found myself in this place of questioning what to believe. And I think at times in life, whether it's Bat Boy or whether it's deeper crises of faith, we find ourselves often in this moment questioning what should we believe and how should we believe in it. Marla and I used to watch incessantly the show Catfish on MTV. And if you don't know Catfish, it's a show about people who are basically fooled online in the people that they're dating. And you're watching it and these people believe the most insane stories. Like guys who sit on their computer playing Minecraft all day and suddenly like a supermodel from Lithuania is now interested in them, right? And sending them pictures and they want to meet up and they are fully bought into this reality. And I'm looking at this thinking, how on earth could anyone believe that this is true? How on earth could you fall for this in any given situation, in any given moment? And the fact of the matter is people do all day, every day. And the fact of the matter is we struggle at times with what to believe and how to believe it and how to engage it. We even struggle to know how to believe in ourselves and how to connect to what's going on in us and through us. I mean, how many of you guys have had conversations in the same day in your head that sound like, I am so awesome. And then a few weeks later, a few days later, you're like, I suck and my life's falling apart. Maybe in the same hour you've had those conversations. But the fact of the matter is it's even hard to believe know to what to believe about ourselves in any given situation. And so we find ourselves in these crises of faith, these crises of belief, not knowing what to put our faith in and how to engage those conversations. And so we struggle with what to believe in. And the fact of the matter is that we've built realities around certain beliefs that we've put our trust in that have failed us. And so then it's hard to know exactly where to put our faith. I mean, how many of you have ever put your faith in someone that you thought, I can absolutely love and trust this person, and then they betrayed your trust? How many of you have put your money into an investment that was a surefire investment, and then you found yourself months, weeks later, losing everything in the middle of that? How many of you have found yourself putting your conversation in people around whether or not they're worthy of love or trust, or this is going to work out wonderfully and everything falls apart in the end? The fact of the matter is we've built realities around certain beliefs that we've had, things that we've put our faith in, and then everything comes crumbling down and we wonder, what is real and what should I put my faith in? And so we become gun shy to believing in anything, and cynicism starts to take over who we are. See, everyone wants to have faith in something. The fact of the matter is that you are not a person of faith only if you believe in God. You had faith getting in your car coming here today. You have faith in that pew that is a couple hundred years old and sitting there that it's going to hold you up in your seat there. See, it's getting to a belief that actually creates the future that we long for that's difficult. It's getting to a faith that actually creates a moment or a space that elevates us and the people around us that is what we're longing for and looking for. And there's all kinds of interesting moments in the scriptures where Jesus deals with people and interacts with people who are longing for that experience. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 27. If you have a copy of the scriptures, you can open there. If you need a Bible, you can raise your hand. One of our team members will give you one. But in Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 27, Jesus has a very interesting exchange with a person who is blind in this moment. And this is what it says in Matthew 9:27. It says, as Jesus went from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, have mercy on us, son of David. And when he had gone indoors, the blind man came to him, and he asked him, do you believe that I am able to do this? Yes, Lord, they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to faith, let it be done to you. And their sight was restored. And Jesus warned them sternly, see that no one knows about this. But they went out and spread the good news about him all over that region. I love how immediately they disobey Jesus after he heals them in this moment. But here are these guys, and they ask for mercy, right? And Jesus responds with such an interesting question, a question that we see all over the scriptures. And he responds this with this question, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Do you actually believe that I'm able to heal you? Now, I don't know what answer Jesus was expecting, right? Because I don't think they were going to be like, no, have no faith, sorry, but, you know, we're here. I mean, maybe an honest answer would have been, maybe. I don't know if you're able to do this or not. We've been blind for quite some time, and you've supposedly had this reputation for healing people. But they immediately say yes in this moment. Now, by this time, Jesus has healed a lot of people. In fact, he's been healing people since chapter 4 in the story. So he has a lot of track record now of being a healer in the surrounding region that they find themselves in. So the question that Jesus was asking, that they were asking, wasn't really, is Jesus capable of healing? Because he now, at this point, has a clear track record of what healing looks like. That wasn't the issue that they were dealing with here in this passage, in this moment. But Jesus seems to ask this question over and over and over again anytime someone comes to him looking for some type of an elevated experience, some type of a miracle that takes place in their life. He asks it in all kinds of different ways. He asks, do you want to be healed? He asks, why have you come here? He asks, do you believe? So before he even goes into his miracle moments, he asks these questions that are seeming to test what they actually believe about who he is, because Jesus is actually interested in getting to a deeper reality that goes far beyond any of our or their present needs. He's always up to a deeper conversation that he's stepping into here with them. Have you ever had a need in your life that is so pressing, that is so overwhelming, that is all you can see everywhere you go? While you're driving, while you're talking to your spouse, while you're with your kids, it's like that's the only thing that you can see in front of you. Last year, I was in the hospital for a heart condition that suddenly came on, and we were there and for there for 3 days, and you know, insurance, we have insurance, and so it was theoretically supposed to cover it. And then a couple weeks later, I called the hospital, and I said, hey, what's the damage? Because I know we have a copay, and I know we have a responsibility. And they said, you know, your insurance hasn't got back to us, so you should call your insurance. So I called my insurance, and they said, oh yeah, we've denied all your claims, and you'll be getting a bill for $46,000. Now, I don't know how much you think I make here as a pastor at Humanity Church, but that would definitely be about a year's salary and not able to cover any of that whatsoever. And I'm telling you that walking away from that moment, that is all I could see. In fact, it started on a 3-month journey attempting to fix the situation that was taking place with the health insurance company. But every moment, Marla can tell you, when I was home with the kids, I was thinking about $46,000. When we were having conversations in the car, I was thinking about $46,000. When I was at work, I was thinking about how are we gonna raise $46,000. That is everything that I could see. It clouded every moment of my life and it took over everything. And there are some times in life where we find ourselves there, where situations, moments, circumstances seem to cloud everything that we can see. And sometimes we're not even aware of it. Have you ever found yourself just irritated and you don't know why? Or frustrated or feeling anxious and then you pause and you go, oh, it's because of the situation at work. It's because of the finances. It's because of the relationship that's in breakdown. It's because of the lack of faith that I have or whatever it may be. And so we find ourselves at time completely overtaken by circumstances and needs and present breakdowns that we find ourselves in. But Jesus, when he steps into these moments with us and with these men and women in the scriptures, he always elevates the conversation to something far bigger than just the current needs. See, because what Jesus was saying here to this man was, hey, I see your illness and I get that you have an illness. So we are addressing that. I got it, clear. And I know that you want to be healed. That's apparent to me, because you've already cried out for mercy, but he's asking this deeper question that elevates the conversation, and he says, but do you know that I can heal you? Do you know that I am the one that can heal you before we take any step further? See, because so often our need overshadows this deeper reality that Jesus is calling us into. See, sometimes it's just easy to say, look, I have faith in faith, because I think at times, our modern version of faith has been more influenced by Facebook memes than it has the scriptures. It's just been informed by motivational speaking and Tony Robbins and other people rather than what Jesus actually has to say to us in the middle of this, right? Because oftentimes our faith just sounds like, you know, go be all that you can be and you lose 100% of the shots you don't take, right? And all of the other conversations that we find ourselves in. And look, they're nice ego builders and they're really motivational and they're helpful to have on a poster at work when you're not meeting your quota or whatever it may be. But that's not what faith is about. That's about what being a better person is about. And they can coincide and they can absolutely connect with one another. But Jesus is actually saying, I don't care how much you believe that you can be healed. Because they clearly did. What he is saying is, do you believe that I can heal you? And do you believe that I'm the one that will actually bring healing and elevate your life? See, faith isn't in a what. Faith is absolutely in a who. It's not about what we have our faith in. It's about who we have our faith in. And faith is never about faith itself. It's about the one who we put our faith into that moves everything around us. I was with dinner with a friend the other day, and we were talking about marriages and the current state of marriage, and they were saying, you know what, I just have faith in marriage. And I said, that is a very bad thing to put your faith in. Because if I was just a gambling man, you have a 60% chance of losing if you just put your faith in marriage itself, right? Just statistically, marriage is a horrible proposition to buy into if you're just looking at something to put your faith in. And your odds are against you in the middle of that. See, there's a difference between saying, I put my faith in marriage and saying, I put my faith in Marla. There's a difference between the two of them. Because when I put my faith in Marla, I know that there is a commitment there that is going to far surpass any circumstance or any situation or any conversation that we find ourselves in. See, because I know that marriage may not feel fun, marriage may not be everything that was cracked out to be, but we are committed to one another. And there is a space where she absolutely is committed to me saying, I will not leave you, and I am committed to her saying, she will not leave me together, and that we are in that covenant together. And I'm not gonna leave her either. So, and in the same way, Jesus is looking for you to put your faith in him and allow that to outshine everything else that's taking place in your life. There's another moment where Jesus steps into this conversation in Matthew 17:14. Turn to me there. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. He has this conversation with another person who needs to be healed. It says, when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire and the water, and I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. And Jesus says, you unbelieving and perverse generation. Kind of a level 10 response here, right, to this situation. Jesus replied, "How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." I would not want to be on the receiving end of that conversation with Jesus. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. I imagine the disciples were like, "Really? Right? what just happened?" And then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" And he replied, "Because you have so little faith. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Another motivational phrase that we oftentimes really enjoy. Jesus was clearly frustrated here in this moment, if you didn't catch the subtext, right? In this moment. See, the disciples couldn't cast out this dark presence that was with this person. And I imagine they tried a lot of things. I mean, here they are with Jesus. They're kind of the apprentices of healing and the miraculous. And they find themselves in this situation that no matter what they did, no matter what they stepped into, that they could not heal this young boy. And I imagine the issue seemed that they need to make their faith bigger. Like, if we just got bigger faith, then somehow we could do this. And I imagine that as they looked at this boy who was struggling with the darkness inside of him and all of the ramifications that came with that, they looked at the circumstance and they said, "Wow, I don't know if my faith can get big enough to handle this. I can't muster something up inside of me to deal with this situation that's in front of me right here." And here's the thing. Jesus rebukes them as a faithless and twisted generation, right? I mean, these poor guys, they're like, "Hey, we've tried everything. We've been praying over this guy in the corner. We were even like praying in tongues and singing. We had a little worship service over here and nothing worked. Can you help, Jesus?" And he's like, "Yeah, you faithless, twisted generation," in this moment with them. Now, here's the thing. When I look at the disciples, I'm like, these guys have way bigger faith than I did. Because could you imagine if Jesus came to you today and he said, "Hey, leave everything and follow me. Leave your job, leave your house, leave it all, follow me." I would probably say, "Let me get back with you," right? I wouldn't just be like, "Sure, lay down the nets, lay down the fish, let's go." There would be a conversation that would be have, a negotiation with God himself when he came to me and said, "Hey, would you come and follow me right now?" But when you look at these disciples, they left everything and they've been following Jesus. I mean, talk about anyone having faith. They should be the ones that are known as people of faith. And this is what Jesus says to them. And then he says, this is the pathway. He says, all you need is faith like a mustard seed. And then you can look at these mountains and tell them to move and they'll move. Now, I don't know what faith is measured in. I thought it might have been grams or ounces. Apparently, it's measured by seed. And when he talks about this level of faith needed, if you know what a mustard seed looks like, it's tiny. I mean, it's like a pinhead seed, and it could fit literally on the tip of your finger. It's one of the smallest seeds in nature, and apparently that is all the faith that you need to move mountains. Now, I'd like to think that I have faith at least the size of a watermelon seed, you know? Like, I would like to think I have at least that much faith, but really, I've never moved a mountain. So I don't know what the equivalent is or what's missing in the middle of all of this. Apparently, it's not about having more faith. Because when Jesus mentions this, he's not saying, "Hey, muster up some more faith to get it to the size of a mustard seed," right? What he's actually saying is it's not about the amount of faith needed. It's not about the quality, the quantity of faith that's needed in the middle of that. So what more do you need to actually move mountains here in this space? See, and this is the problem. This is where, in the movement of Jesus, we read passages like this and we just go, "Great, faith as small as a mustard seed, let's go move mountains." And then when mountains don't move, we don't analyze the text. We go, "Oh, well, it must be something wrong with me." Or it must be something wrong with Jesus. Or maybe we just need to try harder. Maybe we need some more mustard seeds. Maybe if I put my mustard seed or half a mustard seed with your half a mustard seed, we'll have a whole mustard seed, right? Maybe if we put this on a Bible cover, we'll have some more faith. But the fact of the matter is, raise your hand if you've ever moved a physical mountain with your faith in this room. That is 100% of our community. So either Jesus is having a conversation about quantity of faith, or there's a different conversation that he's interested in having with us. So what does Jesus actually mean by this? See, what I know about Jesus is that he's always interested in elevating our perspective on any situation that we find ourselves in. That oftentimes it's not about the miracle. It's about him transforming what we see as possible and how we engage not only with him, but how we engage with one another. Because here's the thing, if you move a mountain, there will always be another mountain to move. If you get healed, guess what? There will always be another sickness to come around that needs more healing in the middle of this. See, he says, I will cure your leprosy, but guess what? You're gonna be sick again. I'll heal your heartbreak, but you're going to get hurt again. I will restore all of your self-worth and your self-value, but guess what? You will find yourself in situations where you will be devalued again. And I will bring you back to life, but guess what? Eventually you're gonna die. So what we do know is that Jesus is interested in a much bigger conversation than just the present miracle that he's up to. See, what he is saying is the only thing that will surpass all of this is your intimate connection with me in the moment. Now, Jesus is absolutely willing to transform your present reality here and now. So clearly, he's up for healing. He's up for restoring. He's up for bringing restoration. He's even up for bringing people back to life when they find themselves in spaces that they're dead. So we know that Jesus is up for that. But what will last is an intimate, deep connection with him that transforms us and everything around us in the process. Because when you're connected to him, you are connected to his heart and his voice. And that moves everything around us. See, when you know the heart and the voice of a father, when you're able to clearly see what he's doing and hear what he is up to, then you will know what he was doing around the world, around you, and then you can move mountains because you know what mountains he is wanting to move. And you know how he is wanting to actually move those mountains. So when he says, you are set free, we can say, absolutely, because I've heard it. Because I've experienced it, because I've connected to it, and I know what that looks like. See, this is not about having some type of magical Holy Ghost power. That is not what this is about. And it's not about connecting to the universe. I know that's a very popular idea right now. Here's the thing. The universe actually doesn't care about how much faith you have. It actually has no intention of responding to any of your intentions. But here's the thing in the middle of this. It's about being connected to the God who has created the universe in an intimate connection with him so that when he speaks, when he moves, we already know what he's doing and we already know what he's saying. So all we have to bring is a tiny little mustard seed to the table and he says, I will take that and expand it. I will take that and move mountains with it. See, I can say that I have faith in Marla to make dinner tonight. And I can say that till I'm blue in the face, and I can beg, and I can plead, and I can get on my knees and say, please, we need dinner, please make the dinner, right? But until she has actually said, hey, I'm making dinner tonight, all bets are off, right? I can believe it in my heart, I can sit on the sofa and just meditate, just say, ooh, I'm gonna visualize the dinner, it's gonna be so good, we're gonna have ribs, ooh, it smells so good. But until I actually connect to her and say, honey, could you make dinner? Would you? And could we have this beautiful time with one another? And she says, yes. The second she says, yes, I now have all permission to put my faith and energy into that conversation. See, because now that I have the word from her, I can now have confidence to move forward that she's going to do what she says. And the scriptures say that faith comes by hearing the words of the Father, by hearing the words of God. So when God says, hey, I'm going to move specifically in this relationship, we can have confidence in that. When he says, I'm going to heal specifically in this area, we can have confidence in that. See, some people ask here at Humanity Church, why don't you just pray for healing every Sunday? I would if God said, pray for healing every Sunday. But there are some weeks where we're here together and a team member will come up and say, hey, I am super clear that we're supposed to pray for healing today. Or people will say, I am super clear that we're supposed to pray for emotional freedom today. Or I am super clear that we're supposed to pray for those who are just lonely or whatever it may be. And so just like Jesus did, we only do what we hear the Father say. Because when we hear the Father say those things, we can then have faith that he is going to come through in those places. So you want to know why God actually wants to do something miraculous in your life? See, it is all for the sake of relationship. It all goes back to you connecting with him in an intimate relationship, that you would know his voice and respond, and that he would respond back with his power and presence to elevate the experience that you are having here and now. See, because it's not about the healing. It's not about the miraculous. It's not about seeing something amazing take place in the moment. If it was, Jesus would just go around healing everyone. See, if that was the end game, Jesus would just say, hey, everyone's healed. Cool, we're taken care of. Now let's get on to the next thing. If it was about bringing people back to life, Jesus would just say, everyone's back to life. Here you go. If it was about setting people free, he would just go, here you go. Everyone's set free. Have fun. What's next? See, but that's not what he's up to. It's about us connecting to the heart of God and being intimate with him. So when he says, do you know I can heal you? We can say, I know. I know in that moment. And this also answers the question why Jesus doesn't heal everyone. I do not like this reality. And it plays with my faith. Because I'm the guy who's like, God, that friend has been suffering with sickness for a long time. Why did you heal that person and not them? Why did this person, who is way so much more deserving than that person, why did you heal them and not them? Why did you not come through when they were sick and they passed away, and why did this person live? See, it answers all those questions because every single miracle has an expiration date. Every single miracle will eventually need some type of course correction or some type of new revelation. But God's perspective is so much higher and so much different than our perspective. See, because when Jesus looks at our relationship, what he sees is, hey, we have eternity together. We have not just a lifetime together. We have an eternity together. So the question is, what is needed to elevate your reality here and now? And sometimes that's healing, and sometimes that is staying in it so that he can transform hearts and minds in the midst of the suffering, so that he can transform who we're becoming in the middle of this life to move us towards the next space. See, here's the crazy thing that I always find so perplexing is that we may not have faith enough to move mountains, but Jesus has enough faith in you. That's how he's actually set up the universe. That he's set us free and has faith that his love will win and that his heart would woo us. And he has faith that you will actually return the relationship. He doesn't coerce, he doesn't force. He just says, I have faith in my sons and my daughters that they will respond when I speak, and that they will respond when I move, and so that they can experience the miraculous all around us. See, this is how I love how playful God is with us. Because he's saying, look, I want to elevate your experience here and now. I want to elevate everything about your life. And I actually have faith that you're capable of stepping into that space with me. So I'm going to do everything possible so that you might win in this life, to experience the fullness of who I am as we move forward and step into belief with him. See, there is only one thing that limited Jesus. There's only one thing. And there's lots of philosophical conversations that people throw out there about what limits, like, could God ever make a rock bigger than him? Right, you know, all that stuff. But the scriptures actually say there's only one thing that limited Jesus everywhere he went, and that was our belief in him. It was not his belief in us. It was our belief in him. He literally went places, and the scriptures said that he could not heal because the people did not believe in him, because the people did not believe that he was capable of doing what he said that he was good. See, it's not that Jesus isn't wanting to expand your life. It's that we don't put our faith in the person of Jesus that is longing to expand ours and moving in that space. And we are unwilling at times to submit ourselves to him. But the second we do, he unleashes faith that can move mountains, that can move any type of circumstance that we find ourselves in. And this last moment in Luke 8:40, that so many of us are familiar with if you've been around the conversations with the scriptures. But in Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 40, Jesus has this other conversation. This is when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. And then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on the way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. Then they all denied it, and Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." And then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet in the presence of all the people. She told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. And then he said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." See, here was this woman that was stuck in a space of what I imagine to be shame and hopelessness. See, a woman who had a situation like that she was in this context would have been put out from her family, put out from her home, put in isolation, and there would be a sense of hopelessness because it said that no one could heal her, which lets us know that she had attempted to be healed multiple times and that nothing had worked up until this point, much like we find ourselves at times, right? I mean, if you just did like a scan over your life, my guess is that there is at least one area where you've already said, that's just not going to happen. Like, that's just not going to change. That is just not possible of getting healed, so we're just going to work around that. And how many of us have just created workarounds in life to deal with whatever isn't actually being moved? And we find ourselves there. And there were hundreds of people touching Jesus. It said that people were pressing in on him, that he could barely move in this place, but there was just one power exchange. Of everyone that was there, of everyone that was in this space, Jesus said that he felt his power go out to one, and then she was healed. And the one differentiator that I can see in this scripture, the only one differentiator that I can see in this moment, is that she came in faith that Jesus would actually heal her. See, other people knew that Jesus could heal, that he had done parlor tricks here and there, that there was a possibility, right? But she came knowing, I have only one possibility, and this is it, and I know that he can heal me. And all she needed to do was to get to Jesus. Whatever she could do, she pushed through the crowds to step into that moment so she could touch just the bottom of his robe. She knew if she could just get a piece of him, that everything could change in that moment. And then he says these such powerful words to her that almost seem heretical. That he says, "Your faith has made you well." And he says this, he says, "Your faith has made you well." He says the same thing to the man in the first story, that your faith has made you well. See, it's interesting that he doesn't pause in that moment and he says, "My power has made you well." He doesn't say, "Look at how strong I am in this moment. Everyone revel in me." He actually points everyone to her. And he says, "Everyone, look at this woman. Don't look at me. Because her faith in me has made her well." And he transforms this moment to everyone looking at this woman, not with eyes of shame or not with eyes of hopelessness, but with eyes of beauty and awe and wonder at the faith and the relationship that she had in him. See, Jesus' power was 100% available to every single person in that crowd. The difference was that this person came to Jesus with faith in him. And his touch would heal her. And because of that, her faith healed her in this moment. See, it is his death and his life that creates the possibility for healing. And it is his goodness that informs him that he should heal and will give generously to every single one of us. But it is our faith that allows us to connect to him in a way that elevates the room, that elevates the circumstances, that elevates the situation and be healed in this moment. See, it is not about whether or not God can heal. It's whether or not you're willing to put your faith in him to have something new take place. And it's really not even about whether or not you're healed. It's about whether or not you can hear the voice of God and move with him so that you can know exactly what he's doing. Because there may be times where he says, "Hey, here's the miracle, is I'm not going to heal you physically right now, but we're going to transform your heart and your mind in the process. Because the only miracle that does not have an expiration date is a changed life. That is the only one that will move into eternity and transform everything around us in the here and now as well. This is the elevated life that Jesus invites us into. The question is, do you know that he can heal you? And are you willing to step into that moment? Let's pray together. Jesus, I thank you that you have so much faith in us, that you believe and your power is available, God. And I ask right now that you would elevate our faith, that you would elevate our belief, that you would elevate what's true within us. And God, we know that you have faith in us, but we ask, God, would you find us faithful to have faith in you? And this morning, if you're here in this place and you have not yet connected to a relationship with Jesus, maybe you came here for the first time, maybe you've been in a conversation around church and God for a long time, maybe you've been searching, but this morning, I don't think it's a coincidence that you're here in this space. And if you're here and you have not yet connected to Jesus and you need to do that for the first time or maybe reconnect to him in some way, this is your moment. So if that's you this morning, would you just, with no eyes looking around, would you just raise your hand and say, I want to connect to Jesus this morning. I want to connect to him and have him transform my life. Awesome. If that's you, I want you just to pray this prayer. Pray, dear Jesus, I give you my life. And I know that I am broken and that you will come and transform all the pieces into something beautiful. So I give you everything, and I ask that you would move in me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's talk. Join us next week for a new conversation or download the Humanity Church app to continue interacting with the community at Humanity. Thanks, and have a great week.